Dave, good to have you on News and Views.
Well, good morning, Joel.
Give us a site assessment now. Tell us what the site looks like. Tell us what's happened since the last time we talked.
Well, since the last time we talked, they are in a full-blown recovery stage now, and they've basically constructed some additional trenches. They've done some additional assessment work to make sure that the contamination is contained. And they're in the process of recovering fuel, and they kind of look at this as the interim remediation. And their indications are that the full-blown clean up all the soil, take care of all the contamination will probably start next spring.
Are you comfortable that you know how much oil was spilled?
Well, the estimates now, we're comfortable with that, but as we get more assessment data and look more into the contamination, find out more information, how long the leak had occurred, we will be refining that number. But I think we're in the ballpark and we're pretty close.
And the number you're using is 20,600 barrels, right? Which puts us, how many gallons are in a barrel, Dave?
I think it's about 44 gallons. So, you know, we're looking in that million gallon range. It's a pretty significant spill. And to be honest, with the size of the spill, the quantity is important. But the most important thing for me right now is knowing where the contamination is and where it isn't. And that's what we're moving forward with.
Have you had to call in help from the Environmental Protection Agency?
We have been in contact with the Environmental Protection Agency. It's kind of a quirk here. Because it doesn't impact waters of the U.S., they may not have jurisdiction.
Really?
Yeah.
That one shocks me. I thought EPA felt they had jurisdiction over the world.
Well, they sometimes feel that way, not in this case.
Okay. So in terms of the clay layer below, are you comfortable that no water has gotten into the groundwater and that it's not going to make it into the groundwater?
From what we've seen, we've had several soil borings drilled into that clay layer, and it's looking like it might be that 40-plus feet thick. So we're feeling pretty comfortable there. And just the way that the product is kind of behaving, where it's migrating downstream or downslope with the rainwater. The rainwater is kind of flushing some of this out, too. We're feeling pretty confident that that clay layer has contained it to the near surface.
Governor Jack Dalrymple was on with us at the energy conference in Bismarck this week. He felt he hadn't been informed in a timely fashion. That means your agency didn't inform him in a timely fashion. Do you have anything to say to that?
Well, our first priority is dealing with the issues at the site. We can need to do a better job of getting that information up the ladder. It was pretty close. You know, the timelines are really tight. You know, by the time we found out that they reassessed the leakage and up the estimates, by the time we found out, we need to do a better job of getting that information up the ladder, and we will do that in the future.
Let's talk about, you know, what we can do to make sure we know instantly in the future. Is the health department going to take any lead whatsoever in the type of policy that would require? Because we had Kent Nonstad and Max Schneider on with us, and both of them said legislation was introduced that was patterned after what other states had done. To require the type of system where we would have known this leak was happening and not just found out on our own through a farmer going out in the field that it was happening.
Yeah, you know, I think that clearly there are some things that have to be looked at. You know, in any release, no matter where it comes from, we, as the health department, we want to know why it happened and what can be done to avoid it in the future. Others will have to decide what is appropriate safeguards, but we clearly do not want to have this happen in the future. I don't believe the company does. And so things may have to be done differently. What those are at this point in time, I couldn't tell you. But we are going to continue our investigation on why it happened and how it can be avoided in the future.
Dave Glott with the North Dakota Health Department is our guest here on News and Views. Dave, do you know whether this pipe corroded from the outside in or from the inside out?
I don't know that at this point in time. I think that's important to know, because if it's coming from the inside out, that raises some big issues for us, as does from the outside in. And so we need to take a look at, is it a pipe material? Is it the material being pushed through the pipe, or is it the pressures that have caused this this problem? And that's going to be part of our investigation.
Would the pigging of this pipe, the pigging meaning running something through to try to gain data, would that tell you the integrity itself of the pipe, or would it just show you whether or not there's more leaks?
I do think that gives you an indication that there may be some problems, and that's some of the things that they are doing now. And it's my understanding that they replaced the portion that failed, and they have pigged the other portions of the pipeline. They have found some areas where the data is coming back showing that there may be some concerns, and they're investigating those areas as well.
Do you have the power as the North Dakota Health Department to cause them to expose the pipe from the outside so that you can physically examine it and not rely on that technology?
Well, I think they're the pigging, and they call it a smart pig, that can give them pretty good information on the integrity of the pipe. And where that smart pig identifies some potential anomalies or weaknesses in the pipe, we would pursue having the company expose those areas to make sure that there isn't a leak or a potential leak that could occur in the future.
Because of the age of this pipe, does this cause you then to look at, you know, this isn't the only pipeline in Western North Dakota. Does this cause you to say we need to step up inspection and enforcement of other pipes? We need to take a look at and smart make sure we get the data from the smart pig on other pipeline systems so that what happened in Tioga with the Tesoro pipe isn't happening in other places as well.
Well, clearly, I think from any time something bad like this happens, there's going to be lessons learned. And maybe some of those lessons learned is, you know, we take a look at how pipes are located, how they're constructed, and then the monitoring and maintenance of those pipes. And I think all those things should be looked at to see if there are areas that can be improved at the state level to be able to make sure that these things are minimized or don't happen at all in the future.
I want to go back to the cleanup itself. And I think North Dakotans and people all over the upper Midwest, And just give you a chance to be clear on this. This cleanup is going to be a long process, is it not?
I think it will. I think, you know, there's a silver lining here that it's oil, that it's contained to the near surface. I believe that they can get in there and remediate it probably quicker than we have seen at some other sites. So we're optimistic in that respect. But any remediation of this size is going to take some time, so we're probably looking at 1 to 2 years, maybe a little longer.
How have the folks from Tesoro been to work with?
Very good. They've been very aggressive, been very open with the information, and are willing to work with the department, and we appreciate that.
Okay. Dave, anything else you want to get out there to the public that's listening to you?
Well, anytime anybody has any questions on what we're doing or what's going on up there, just feel free to give the department a call.
Okay.
I'd be more than happy to give them that information.
Dave, thanks for your time today on News and Views.
Thanks, Joel. Take care.
You bet. And I gave the disclaimer out there. I've known Dave Glatt for years. He's a pro. He's a valued public employee. We're lucky to still have him working for the state of North Dakota. I didn't hear him run and hide when he said, you know what, we can learn some lessons and have done some things better on this. I like the fact that Dave Glatt is representing my state on this spill. I like that. Now, the other questions that go along with this, I think, fall back to the policymakers of this state. Why did legislation that was introduced that could have helped us find this out get poo-pooed? How cozy and comfortable are we with the industry that we're not even willing to do basic regulations like other states do so that we know whether or not 20,000, or better way of putting it, 1 million gallons of oil was spilled in a specific area? We got lucky here. If it's as Dave Glatt described it, we got lucky here with the clay liner. That could have been someplace else. And I still also really want to know whether this was from the outside in or the inside out when it comes to what happened with this pipe.